Grace, you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. When you smash together the palms and the passion, it becomes a story of contrasts, a story of what everyone was thinking versus what actually took place. A story of what everyone wanted to happen and what God had said would happen. A story of the will of man versus the will of God. The expectations of the crowd on the Day of Palms are recorded in the Gospels remarkably similarly. As John recalls, they knew about the raising of Lazarus. They had heard about this great sign. Many witnesses had already made the trek to testify about it. And so the crowds expected an even greater sign. As the chief priests lament, the whole world has gone after him. Everyone was in the streets. And along with the hosannas and the various messianic titles, one particular one stood out. Even the King of Israel. Matthew has it, Hosanna to the Son of David. Mark melds it together. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. And Luke simply records, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. If this Jesus could resurrect a man dead for 4 days, he can certainly resurrect the lost kingdom. How exactly he would do this isn't spelled out. They all probably thought with great signs, like the 10 plagues. The king will say the word, and the blood, and the hail, and the gnats, and the frogs, and all of them will chase out the hated Romans. As the first stanza of our hymn of the day notes, this is actually quite odd. Jesus is not marching at the head of an army. No tramp of soldiers' marching feet. He does not have the full fife and drum corps with flags and banners and eagles flashing in the sunlight. And official Jerusalem is certainly not welcoming this. The bells are not pealing. The good and the great of the city are telling Jesus to tell his people to shut up. They're lamenting what they see as the foolishness of the people. And this Jesus comes into the city not in kingly pride, but riding a donkey. And nobody noticed this, not until he was glorified. And yet, Jesus does come. He knows what the crowd's expectations are, and he knows he is not going to do that. He knows that regardless of the palms and the cloaks, with every step, the cross draws near. And it is that cross that shall be his throne, not some noble seat. He knows the praise that the children sing is appropriate, And if they did not give it, the stones would cry out. But such praise from the stones would not change stony hearts. It would just multiply the witness against them. The miracles that had been done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom. They would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But they did not understand these things. Not until he was glorified. And this is all astounding to Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? It's a foolish question. If he were, his own people would not have handed him over. But Pilate's more interested in why did they even bother? Why did the crowds welcome him with palms? Why did the powerful men of the city wake me up at dawn for this nobody? And Jesus refuses to answer. The man with actual kingly authority, that this prisoner has the ear of for 1 second. He could beg for his life. He could ask the king for a bit of grace. Because that's what Pilate wants to give. To be seen not as the Roman warlord, but the gracious ruler. But Jesus says nothing. He makes no appeal to earthly rule. And then the crowds start to realize something. The man that they welcomed with hosannas, the man who raised Lazarus from the dead, the man they expect to perform more signs and resurrect the kingdom of Israel, he isn't going to do any of that. Pilate parades him out, hoping to be gracious. What do you want, Barabbas, this stone-cold killer, or Jesus, who's called the Christ? Surely they will take this man they welcomed so warmly. But the crowds switch. Hosannas become crucified. He's not giving us what we want. The palms, how soon laid down. The streets, with tumult ring. And they did not understand these things. Not until he was glorified. So Pilate hands him over, and various lower levels join in the mockery. The soldiers create the crown of thorns. Hail, King of the Jews! Those who crucify him put the sign above him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And the chief priests join in the mocking. He flipped the tables in the temple, but it's we who have turned the tables on him, on this would-be Messiah. He saved others. He raised Lazarus. Let him raise himself. He's the King of Israel. If he comes down from the cross and does this, we will believe him. And they did not understand these things. Because he would come down from the cross. Not the way they meant. Joseph of Arimathea had to bring him down, but he would come down. He would come down all the way into the grave. He would come down all the way into that descent into hell. He would come down and and he would raise himself. They would receive that great sign of Jonah. He would raise himself after 3 days. And he would do this for those who had mocked him, for they did not understand these things. He would do this for those who drove the nails. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. He would do this for those who cried, "Crucify," because they did not understand. He would refuse to appeal to anyone other than his heavenly Father. "Why have you forsaken me?" He would only appeal to heaven. That the pilots of the world might understand later the limits of their power. Because Jesus would come down from the cross, be placed in the tomb where all the Marys knew where he was, and he would rise. He would be glorified, that we might know that God loves us, that we might know exactly what type of king we have. A king that we do not need to fear, for he has not come to judge and slaughter. A king that we do not have to flatter, because he already knows everything on our hearts, because he has come humbly on a donkey. A king that we do not need to send our blood or our son's blood or our labor or the rewards of our labor to support his petty kingdom, because he took the form of a servant. We have been saved by his work. We have been given his blood. He's been glorified. And we can understand these things now. That's what the church, the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, testifies to. The crucified one is the King of glory. Open the doors of your hearts that he might come in. Lift up your heads and know that the one that we all crucified in our ignorance has turned it for our good. Behold, behold your King. Behold your King who comes in this age humbly, who comes heart by heart, who offers all of our misguided number his grace. Because today is the day to know. Today is the day to understand and to believe and to live. Tomorrow, the King returns. Tomorrow he returns not in grace, but in glory. Tomorrow, what we foolishly desired the first time, tomorrow he returns to reign. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Because tomorrow the King comes in great power and great glory. But today, today is the day of grace to understand these things. Amen.